Up next.
Good afternoon. 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
We've received nearly 4,800 reports directly from citizens, with over 800 citizens falling victim to a scam.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says there's no shortage of criminals trying to bilk Kentuckians out of their money. The Democrat held a press conference today to talk about the extent of the problem over the past year.
Two people are dead following a crash of a truck and a motorcycle in Boyd County.
The Rowan County Grand Jury indicts a man in the killing of a Moorhead resident last month.
In sports, the Reds try to square their series with the Blue Jays in Canada tonight.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 55. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. WCHS is reporting that two people have been killed in the collision of a motorcycle and a pickup truck in Boyd County. Kentucky State Police say the accident happened about 3 o'clock this afternoon on U.S. 23 in Catlettsburg near the Marathon Refinery. The northbound lanes are closed and will likely not reopen for an hour or so. The names of the victims have not yet been released.
The Moorhead News is reporting that a 40-year-old man has been indicted on murder charges in the April shooting of a Rowan County resident. The indictment was returned against Randy Parmley in the killing of 42-year-old Kenneth Fulton. Police say Fulton was slain at his home on Leaning Tree Lane during an argument between the two men. Parmley turned himself into state police at the Moorhead Post shortly after the shooting. Troopers say Parmley apparently went to the house to find out why his wife was there.
A Floyd County woman was arrested at the Tri-State Airport near Huntington Monday after federal officials say they found a loaded handgun in one of her carry-on bags. Officers with the Transportation Security Administration say they discovered a .22-caliber revolver in the woman's backpack as it passed along the X-ray conveyor belt. The unidentified woman has been cited on a state weapons charge. She reportedly told TSA agents that she forgot she was carrying the weapon.
Kentucky State Police have charged a 38-year-old teacher from Owingsville with sexual abuse following allegations that he had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a female student at Bath County Middle School. Troopers say Darvin Crouch was arrested on Saturday. He's accused on 4 counts of sexual abuse in the first degree. Crouch is logged in the Clark County Detention Center. Police say their investigation is ongoing.
Yesterday marked 1 year since Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear kicked off Scam Alerts, a program dedicated to protecting Kentucky's most vulnerable groups from scammers and fraud. Beshear held a news conference today to highlight the program's successes and goals moving forward. Scam Alerts boasts some 160 community partnerships and warns people by text or email when they uncover a new or popular scam. Beshear says the program also helps people who have fallen victim to such a crime, like a Northern Kentucky woman who lost a substantial amount of money to a local contractor.
She had made a large payment up front, which Kentuckians should never, ever do. So what happened? A little bit of work was done on the front end, and then no work was done. And suddenly, her calls stopped being answered. When the mediation staff intervened, that Northern Kentucky senior has had over $7,000 returned from that local contractor.
Scam Alert's mediation team has recovered and returned nearly $880,000 to Kentuckians who have reported to their group. The program aims to protect and educate seniors and other groups especially vulnerable to scammers.
Roadside cleanup crews from the Boyd County Detention Center have removed over 35,000 pounds of trash in the past 8 months. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has more.
The Independent reports inmates from the BCDC removed over 3,500 bags of trash and 145 tires along 273 miles of roadway. They did the work from September through April, sometimes alongside the County Road Department as it handled illegal dumps in hard-to-access places that required heavy lifting of things like couches and air conditioners. The effort was funded by a $50,000 litter pickup grant. Boyd County Jailer Joe Burchett says the beautification of county and state roadways is good enough, but the inmates are also satisfied and made happier by the task. He expects certain locations to be re-littered within a month of the cleanup, but calls it a revolving door cycle, hoping they'll be back to clean up again. For MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
Ohio's senior senator says choking off the supply of new and more powerful synthetic opioids is necessary to keep police officers and other first responders safe. Republican Rob Portman chairs a Senate subcommittee on investigations. He says the need to do that was underscored recently when an eastern Ohio police officer was overcome after busting some motorists for possession of fentanyl-laced heroin.
Earlier this month, a police officer named Chris Green in East Liverpool, Ohio, had a near-fatal fentanyl overdose following a routine traffic stop. Went back to the police station and noticed that on his shirt there was some powder. So he reached up, brushed the powder off his shirt. This guy's 6'3", 225 pounds, big man, and he fell to the floor unconscious and overdosed.
Portman says the officer was rushed to the hospital and needed two more doses of Narcan to revive him. Had he been alone, the senator points out, the officer would have probably died. Portman says the dangers to fentanyl users are obvious, but the potential harm to those trying to help them is a serious problem, too.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer has told U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue he's looking forward to crafting policies in the House and working with the Trump administration to advance industrial hemp. The Monroe County Republican says development of markets for hemp is vital to his rural 35-county district.
After the last farm bill, Kentucky implemented an industrial hemp program that has been a great success, and I'm looking forward to working with the House to advance policies that continue to grow on that and bring industrial hemp forward as a legal, viable commodity.
Comer serves on the House Agriculture Committee, who heard testimony from Perdue last week.
An official with the Home Builders Association of Northern Kentucky says the construction industry must have a younger, skilled workforce to meet the building needs of the future. Brian Miller is vice president of the organization. He tells Spectrum News that's what makes the HBA's receiving of a $2.7 million grant from the Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Cabinet so important to the industry going forward.
Our average age of our workforce is 59 years old. And so in the coming years, we're going to need managers. We're going to need company owners. We're seeing companies that have their owners retiring, and there's nobody to take over those companies. So what we're telling the youth of today, if they want to advance quickly, if they want to make a good wage with no college debt and a job that they enjoy, with the possibility to be an entrepreneur in the very near future, construction trades is really the place to be.
Miller says the money will be used by the Enzweiler Building Institute to bolster its apprenticeship training programs. He says Enzweiler operates one of the oldest and biggest job development initiatives in the country.
Governor Bevin says there will be a special session to handle tax reform in Kentucky. Bevin says the session will handle difficult decisions.
Hard decisions are going to be made, but they will be in the best interest of Kentucky. And the irony is this, that's what people elected us to do. That's what they want us to do, and we're going to do it. And by doing it, we're going to reaffirm their decision to trust us to make hard decisions.
He says there have been regular meetings between his office and legislative leaders to develop a plan that he says will be handled this year. Bevin did not say when the special session would be scheduled. When called, the special session will last a minimum of 5 days at a cost of $60,000 per day.
And Governor Bevin says an ethics complaint filed against him involving his new house is an inside job. We get details from the Kentucky News Network's Will Clark.
Bevin says the complaint on his house by Common Cause Kentucky can be traced back to Tim Longmire, a former member of the Beshear administration.
What's interesting as well is that it apparently is being brought, all we do know, by the very people who are funded by our Attorney General, using money that he received from Tim Longmire in contributions. Tim Longmire, who, as a reminder, since it wasn't covered much, is actually now in federal prison.
Addressing the claims that the house's seller, Neil Ramsey, paid to play by giving Bevin a deal on the home in exchange for a seat on the Kentucky Retirement System board, he asked reporters, "Do you want to sit on the worst-funded pension system in the state?" I'm Will Clark.
crossed the downtown public library building off the list of contenders for Lexington's new government center. As Josh James explains, a consultant report suggests the city will probably look elsewhere.
City leaders have been on the hunt for a new City Hall location for decades. And last August, they identified the Lexington Public Library on Main Street as one potential spot. But that option appears unlikely following a consultant report delivered to the Urban County Council this week. It says any move to the library location would require around $100 million in additional construction to meet space requirements. Mayor Jim Gray.
The cost is too high. So we're now looking at other alternatives. Now, the library's been maintained very well. It's a really outstanding building. It just didn't fit with us, with the city's needs.
The city views the government center's current home, the former Lafayette Hotel, as unsustainable, with mounting maintenance costs and other expenses expected to drain more than $80 million from city coffers over the next 20 years. Alternate locations that have been floated include Center Point, the Lexington Herald Leader Building, and the top of the Lextran Transit Center on Vine Street. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
An Ashland man wants city commissioners to permit residents to raise chickens within the city limits. Shane Perry says such a move would be in keeping with a national trend.
A lot of other cities bigger than Ashland already allow things like that. There's been a push for like farm-to-table kind of movements, and Chillicothe, which is similar to the size of Ashland now, allows chickens. It just gives another option for kids to kind of learn and grow and see exactly what is involved in some of the food that they eat.
If commissioners have concerns about noise, Perry argues, they could restrict the housing of chickens to hens. He says they're much quieter than roosters. He made his appeal last week before the city commission.
President Trump's proposed budget would mean a 29% cut in assistance for over 600,000 Kentuckians. The president wants to slash $192 billion over 10 years from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. Ashley Spalding with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says Kentucky's 5th congressional district has the 6th highest number of households receiving SNAP benefits of all congressional districts in the country. The Trump administration says the cuts will be balanced by stricter work requirements and reduced fraud. But Spalding says with persistent unemployment, the numbers just don't add up.
How's a person going to meet work requirements when there just aren't the jobs? Most of the counties in our state have waivers. Now, under the president's proposal, that would go down to just about 10 counties that qualify.
The majority of SNAP participants are children, seniors, or people living with disabilities. Spalding says the president's budget puts other federal programs that help low-income Kentuckians on the chopping block, including Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, Supplemental Security Income, and Social Security Disability Insurance. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight, expect mostly cloudy skies with lows around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll see showers early in the morning, highs around 77 degrees, and a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. For Wednesday night, cloudy skies and lows around 52 degrees, a 50% chance of rain persisting. On Thursday, partly cloudy, highs near 78, and Thursday night, partly clear, lows around 59 degrees. And taking a look at area temperatures, it is 83 degrees in Ashland, 79 degrees in Flemingsburg. In Inez, it's 81 degrees. It's 80 degrees in Winchester. In Lexington, it's 81 degrees. And right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 81 degrees.
444, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Well, as we heard earlier in this newscast, a dangerous new version of heroin is circulating through eastern Kentucky and Ohio. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins has more on the story.
Heroin laced with acrofentanyl is the latest type of opioid to enter the drug war in eastern Kentucky. Reports say the drug is much stronger than other forms of heroin and is said to be resistant to the antidotes naloxone and Narcan. Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein runs the anti-drug initiative Operation Rowan Roundup, which has led to the indictments of over 200 people since its inception in 2010. As part of the effort, people in the area are told of the dangers and repercussions of using such drugs. With acrofentanil bound for the region, Klein believes this kind of public relations campaign is more important than ever.
We got the word out and got it out quick, and we made sure that people understood and known that if there is fanatics listening, they can say, maybe I won't try this or I won't use this because of what it could do. One dose, I could be dead. And to family members and friends that have people that's in addiction, that maybe they'll go to them and say, listen, you can't take this, you can't do this because you might take this one dose. This could be the lethal dose that does it.
Klein says if the information campaign saves at least one life, then it's worked.
I think the information is powerful. If we can get the information out there and maybe just have them just stop and think before they do this. I know that it's a powerful pull on them because of their addiction, but it's a life and death decision, and a lot of times we have to make those every single day. But for an addict, they take it. It could be the dose that actually kills them.
While using heroin laced with acrofentanil is life-threatening, Klein admits he doesn't understand why dealers would want to sell it, noting that it makes little sense from a business perspective.
They're always coming up with something that's a little stronger, a little more powerful, a little more addictive. When you start mixing these kind of chemicals together and coming up with this, it's a lethal dose. I don't know. You'd think a dealer or supplier wouldn't want to kill off their clients or the people that's buying, but why would you even, number one, put it in you, and then the second was, why would you even sell this?
Klein is not only worried about the people this new version of heroin could harm, but for members of his department and other law enforcement agents as well. He says without the proper protection, they could face serious danger.
Our guys on the street, they've been aware of this. Of course, it's a potential danger to us, too, out here. If we're making traffic stops and we're having to touch items or have to search individuals that may have this on them, and we don't have our rubber gloves that we issue to protect ourselves, if we get a little bit of on our skin and there's no opiate base within us, it could harm law enforcement also.
As of now, there are no reports of new antidotes being made that can stop the effects of acrofentanil-laced heroin. The drug is a major topic of discussion among police officers, and Klein says they will do everything they can to stop the drug from coming into the region. For more Head State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Well, let me correct myself. It is Tuesday afternoon, not Monday, as I mentioned about 3 minutes ago. Make a note of that. It will be on the exam. 4:47, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Sean has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Walking it off. Good afternoon. This is MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Reds are looking to right the ship after last night's 17-2 walloping by the Toronto Blue Jays. Reds right-hander Asher Wojciechowski will toe the rubber against J.A. Happ. Despite last night's blowout, outfielder Adam Duvall remains hot. He now has 5 home runs in the last 5 games. He'll look to continue that streak at 7 tonight in Toronto. After Nationals batter Bryce Harper and Giants reliever Hunter Strickland had an exchange of punches during their recent game, they are sure to be penalized. Harper was struck in the hip by Strickland's 98-mile-per-hour pitch. He then rushed the mound, and the two men exchanged jabs. Both benches emptied, and both players were later ejected. No injuries were reported. 25-year-old Angels big man Mike Trout has opted to have thumb surgery. Up to this point in his career, Trout has never been on the disabled list, but after tearing a ligament in his left thumb as he was sliding into a stolen base, he will be on the disabled list for 6 to 8 weeks. Trout is hitting .337 with 16 homers. 16th Region Baseball Tournament action continues tonight in Game 1 at 5:30. Rowan County battles Russell. Vikings head coach Keith Brader says his 23-14 team is clicking at the right time.
Very confident. Our kids are kind of gelling right now, and it's a good time to do that. And kids are playing with a little bit of confidence and, just a tad of arrogance, which is a good thing at this time of year. So very, very confident right now.
Russell is 24-13 on the year. The two teams split their regular season meetings, with Russell taking Game 1 4-2 and Brown picking up a 12-8 win in Game 2. In the other semifinal at game tonight, Boyd County will battle West Carter. Boyd goes into the game winners of 13 of its last 15 games, and head coach Brandon Ramsey feels good about where his team is.
I think they feel good. We've played well over the last month, you know, coming into district. We'd won quite a few, and feeling real confident about where we are. You know, our pitching kind of come around and gotten a lot more consistent over that time. Our offense has been good all year. And, you know, we just kind of try to keep all that going through the next couple weeks, hopefully.
Boyd County is 22-11 on the year, while West Carter is 19-14. Boyd beat West 11-3 earlier this month. In the 16th Region Softball Tournament tonight, Fleming County faces East Carter. The reigning 16th Region champions, East Carter, has compiled a 31-3 record this season behind junior pitcher Montana Fouts, 359 strikeouts on the year. Lady Raiders head coach Derek Calhoun says he thinks his team has one advantage over the remaining teams in the tourney.
I think experience-wise and stuff, we've got part of the edge over the other three teams, and hopefully that gets us another championship.
Fleming County is 21-7 on the year. The two teams did not face each other in the regular season. In the second game of the night, Rowan County battles with Ashland Blazer. Rowan head coach Larry Sloan says while his team may not be the favorite to win the tournament, he's not counting out his squad.
With Montana pitching over at East Carter, they are definitely the favorite to win the region. And what I would like to do is compete and have a chance to win it. Like we did last year, we had a chance. We got to the championship game. And, you know, once you're in a one-game series, anything can happen.
Rowan is 22-9, while Ashland is 14-21. But the Kittens beat Rowan 6-4 and 6-5 in the two regular season meetings. Tiger Woods says an unexpected reaction to prescription medicine, including two painkillers, led to his driving under the influence arrest in Florida. AP correspondent Tim McGuire reports.
Tiger Woods, who has won 14 major golf championships, was arrested for DUI early Monday morning. In a statement, he apologized to family, friends, and fans and said alcohol was not involved and he didn't realize the mix of medications affected him that strongly. He adds, "I will do everything in my power to ensure this never happens again." Woods, who had his fourth back surgery in April, hasn't played competitive golf in nearly 4 months.
Tim McGuire reporting. The Cincinnati Bengals get their second round of OTAs underway today up in the Queen City, with the Bengals adding several new offensive weapons in the draft, including wide receiver John Ross. Quarterback Andy Dalton says these OTA workouts are extremely important for the team's new young threats.
I don't think any quarterback's complaining about having more guys that can do a lot. So I'm excited, and I mean, right now, once we get to OTAs, you get a chance to actually start practicing and doing some things that we'll be doing during the year. I think it'll be good to get those guys learning and get them up to speed.
The Bengals will wrap up OTAs this week. And finally, this afternoon, John Isner has reached the second round at the French Open, defeating Jordan Thompson of Australia 6-3, 4-6, 7-6, and 6-3. The 21st-seeded American hit 31 aces and converted all three of his breakpoints. Of the 11 men from the United States who entered the main draw at Roland Garros, only Isner and number 25 Stephen Johnson remain in the tournament. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
Athletics online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing will be this Saturday at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. More information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower as investors digested key economic data, but a rise in tech stocks helped cap losses. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 50.81 at 21,029.47. The S&P 500 was down 2.91 at 2412.91, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 7 to finish at 6203.19. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 18 to 11 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Within the tech sector, of course, the big news was Amazon hitting an intraday high of 1,000 before dropping back just a little before the close as the stock finished at $996.70, and it was up just under a dollar in today's trading. Personal income rose 0.4% in April, in line with expectations, and consumer spending increased by 0.4%. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, which is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, rose 0.2%. And also, U.S. home prices rose 5.8% in the month of March, according to the S&P Case-Shiller National Home Price Index. And this news was certainly not a bad thing for the bond market, as the benchmark 10-year note rose in price and the yield dropped down to near 2.22% today, as investors looked upon the news as not particularly or not a sign that the economy was anywhere close to overheating. Overseas in Europe, markets were down, with the Stock 600 down 0.2%. Asia was mixed, with the Nikkei down less than 0.1%, and the Hang Seng up about 0.2%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% at $49.54 a barrel, and gold likewise was down 0.5% at $1,265.40 an ounce. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were Verizon and 3M. Your worst performers were Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. In the S&P 500, the best performers were BorgWarner and Micron Technology, and the worst performers were Kinder Morgan and Devon Energy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 26 cents at $66.50, CSX up 26 cents at $54.22, AEP up 36 cents at $71.23, Marathon Petroleum down 40 cents at $52.42, AK Steel up 39 cents at $6.19, and Community Trust Bank was down 75 cents to finish at $42. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening areas, including the cities of Ashland, Flemingsburg, and Inez. For tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, you can expect showers early in the morning, highs of around 77 degrees, and there's a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the day tomorrow. For Wednesday night, cloudy skies and lows around 52 degrees. That 50% chance of rain persists through the night. Then Thursday, partly cloudy, highs near 78 degrees. And Thursday night, partly clear skies, lows around 59 degrees. It is currently 81 degrees in Moorhead.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, and Chaz Jenkins. From WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.